In Luke 4, verse 22, there's an interesting statement made about Jesus. It said this, "And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded from his mouth." Notice how Jesus' words are described. Gracious words. That little word gracious comes from the Greek word charis. And it is the word that is usually translated as grace. Strong defines the word simply as graciousness. Thayer, however, gives a more complete description of this word, gracious words. He says that it can be defined as this, that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness. Notice, grace of speech. I don't know about you, but in times past, speech was much more gracious than it is in our present society. When I grew up, you would not hear very many individuals who use cuss words and profanity. Television shows just did not have any cursing in them at all. Very, very few songs that used profanity within them. Children were taught not to cuss. In fact, not only do you not use cuss words, you do not even use euphemisms. That almost sounded like a cuss word. But those are those words that we put in place of curse words. If I even said one of those, my mom was all over me. Cuss words were used by those individuals in the world who were ungodly and who were evil and worldly kind of people, weren't they? Just one word in a movie in 1939 created a commotion throughout all of the United States. The movie was Gone with the Wind. The word was a cuss word. And almost everybody in here knows exactly the word. Don't tell me you're not thinking it in your mind. And if you're not, I'll prompt you. How about this? Frankly, my dear. And you and I know the rest of the story, don't we? Folks, language today is even much more corrupt than that movie, isn't it? In fact, we wish we could find movies with just one curse word, don't we? You see, movies and television shows are filled with cursing. Even television and radio commercials have curse words in them, don't they? Songs on the radio, you can't believe what you're listening to sometime as you hear the words of those songs sung. Coaches, even Little League coaches, will curse their players, won't they? We find parents that will curse at their kids during times of discipline, and I have even heard of youth leaders who will use curse words and profanity around their youth group and even defend it. Sadly, we find more and more and more individuals who do not hesitate to take the Lord's name in vain, don't we? I've entitled this lesson, "What Did You Say?" That's the question my mama would ask when she thought you said a bad word. The minute she thought it, she'd look at you, "What did you say?" And this was kind of the look. The subtitle of the lesson very simply is this, "The Condemnation of Cussing." Folks, it's not that I've heard anybody in this audience curse. Never have. But guess what? I had a lady, member of the church, who contacted me. She has an 8-year-old grandson. And she heard a couple of words come out of his mouth that she didn't appreciate. So she said, "Vic, would you do a lesson on cursing?" Well, I did it about 3 or 4 months ago, and I sent her the lesson, but I've never preached it. She called me not long ago, and she says, have you ever preached that lesson? I said, no, I sent you the lesson. She said, I want it preached. And so here we be. What happens sometimes in lessons, folks, is you study quite a bit. You find a lot of information. You get it all compiled, and guess what? It's too short for one lesson. It's too long for one lesson. It's too short for two lessons. So this is going to be two lessons. We'll see how short they are. Some people don't think I could ever preach a short sermon. We've only got 2 points in today's lesson, and both of them are questions. Here's the first one. What is cussing? What is it? How do we define it? Guess what? I've got 10 definitions, Bill. See, he knows how you feel points up. Let's look at this little word cuss. Where in the world does that come from, folks? The word cuss is an American term. Isn't that something? And dates all the way back to 1765. Its root is the word curse. What we did is this. We removed the R. We shortened the U. We took off the E and added S, thus curse or cuss words. Sometimes we use both, don't we? Don't curse at me. Or sometimes we'll say, don't cuss at me. Very simply defined, it means this, profanity. Uh-oh. That leads to our second word, doesn't it? What in the world is profanity? Profanity comes from the word profane. I don't know if you've ever looked that word up or not, but it's a very interesting term. Here's one definition. Characterized by irreverence or contempt for God, or sacred principles or things. Irreligious. Another definition of profane. Not devoted to the holy or religious purposes. Unconsecrated. Secular. Watch this. Opposed to that which is sacred. Think about that. Individuals have defined cuss words as what? Profanity. And profanity is that which stands in opposition to God, in opposition to religion, in opposition to that which is holy and godly. They end with this definition, vulgar or irreverent actions or speech. That leads to definition number 3. What does vulgar mean? That little word means this. Vulgar comes from the Latin, which means of the common man. Societies used to be much more divided than the United States is today. By that I mean this. There was an elite class of individuals in societies in days gone by. And then there was what was oftentimes referred to by the elite as the commoner. The common man. Folks, the common men were uneducated. The common men didn't have good breeding. The common men did not have good taste. Thus, the language of the common man was not good. Therefore, when they heard curse words, when they heard profanity, they knew that was not the way the elite spoke. They spoke with flowery languages. They had been well educated. They didn't talk like that. That's the word of who? That's the word of the vulgar. The old common Joe. Folks, it was indecent. It was obscene. And it was lewd. It was crude and coarse and unrefined type language. And isn't that still the way we as Christians view cursing today? It's lewd, it's obscene, it's indecent, it's crude, it's a rough type language, is it not? Notice that little word, indecent. Indecent language. unbecoming or unseemly. Now listen to this next definition. Not in conformity to generally accepted standards of society. Indecent. I find it interesting that every society, really what we should say maybe is every generation in society has a general set of rules of decency. Now, here's what happens. As the generations change, guess what happens? The rules for that generation change. And that's why you have the conflict between the different generations, the old and the young. The old have their standards, and the young have their standards. Sadly, what happens to standards most of the time is they degenerate, don't they? They don't get better. They get worser and worser and worser. Those individuals who are 80 and 90 years old look at the 20 and 30 years old and they say, wow, how things have changed. And not for the what? Not for the better most of the time. See, when you go back into the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, there was one standard, weren't there? And today, there's a completely different set of standards by which individuals speak. And guess what? The standards are not nearly as high today as they used to be, and we hear more and more individuals talking indecently, don't we? Look at the definition of obscene language. Watch this. Offensive to morality or decency. Depraved. Another definition. Abominable. Disgusting. Repulsive. I love that first part. Notice, offensive to what? Morality. In other words, there is something that is referred to as what is right, and there is something that is referred to as that which is wrong. Now, sometimes the lines where those are drawn are different, aren't they? But individuals who use profanity, individuals who curse, are using obscenities. They are using offensive language. Offensive to what? Offensive to morality and the standard of morality. And that language is repulsive, is it not? I don't know about you. I can just about tolerate anything other than cursing. You know what? It just grates on my ears. It's repulsive. Another definition is this, foul language. That word has a history that means this, to stink. Foul language stinks. Did you know that? Your ears can smell. Foul language is to the ears like pollution is to the nose. Foul language is to the ears what landfills are to the nose. It stinks, does it not? Another definition of this word foul, loathsome, grossly offensive. Sometimes we refer to it as corrupt language. That's the way the Bible speaks of it. Let no corrupt communication proceed from thy mouth. Corrupt communication. What does that little word mean? Depraved, perverted, wicked, evil. Notice this. To lower morality. It's corrupt, folks. All of us have had things that have corrupted themselves, have we not? You can have the foundation of a house that begins to be corrupted, can it? It's not what it used to be. It's not up to the standard that it used to be. It's beginning to what? It's beginning to fall apart. And that's the way it is with the language in our society. It is corrupt. And the foundation, the fabric of our society is beginning to crumble because of that kind of sin and that kind of iniquity. To alter for the worse. Sometimes we refer to it as evil language, don't we? Morally wrong, bad, immoral, harmful, injurious. Watch this next one. Sometimes we just call them dirty words. That's what parents say to kids. Don't you say those dirty words. That little word dirty comes from the word dirt. Folks, what we mean is this: soil, foul, unclean, polluted. It has these definitions: vile, mean, sordid, contemptible. Your mouth can be filled with dirt and is so when you speak profanity. Another definition: offensive language, unpleasant, disagreeable to the sense, repugnant. I love that word. Repugnant to good taste, repugnant or insulting. 10 definitions of profanity: cursing, cussing. Folks, just the definitions. In fact, not even the definition, just the way we describe these words should indicate to a child of God who is striving to be holy that these are not words that you and I need in our vocabulary. And yet, our society is filled with them. And we find some Christians who even defend them. And he will use them regardless of what you teach about the matter. So the question that we ask secondly is this: why in the world do people cuss? I've got 40 reasons. No, not quite that many. Number one, sometimes individuals cuss because they grew up in an environment of foul language. Fortunately for me, I did not. My dad was a pretty rough old joker. But guess what he would not do around the kids? He would never cuss, and my mother wouldn't either. And both of them taught us that cursing is wrong. Don't even use those euphemisms. Got a spanking one time for using a euphemism. I won't ever forget it. I was a little older. Me and my mom ran around in the dining room for about 10 minutes. Her trying to get a hold of me. But folks, there's some kids who didn't grow up in that kind of a home. Their parents cuss. The daddy cusses. Mom cusses. Boyfriends cuss. Girlfriends cuss. Kathleen and I like to watch a show called The Chrisleys. I used to like it a lot more than I like it now. When it first came out, it was good. It was clean. About the Chrisley family in Atlanta, and then they moved to Nashville. And guess what? Now I can hardly listen to it. Oh, Todd Chrisley, the daddy, all he does is cuss. His kids, when the show started, were young. They're around 12, 13, 14 years old. Well, now they're in their early 20s. And guess what? Now the kids just curse on every show. One show was almost totally about their cursing. Folks, you see, those kids grew up in a home where dad did it. So guess what? They do it. It's the way it is in many homes today. Secondly, to be tough. You're a tough cookie if you curse, aren't you? You'll show the world how tough you are. And there's some professions that you're just supposed to curse, aren't you? If you're one of the big businessmen in our world, a CEO, guess what? You're rough and tough. You've endured. You've made your wealth. And guess what? You can just cuss all you want to. Sometimes you and I have had bosses, haven't we, that didn't mind using profanity. They didn't mind cursing at you at the drop of a hat. Coaches. And the military. Nobody knows about that in here, do they? Or they just cuss you up and down one side and another, wouldn't they? And had no qualms about it. Why? We're trying to make you tough. Tough people curse. Can you imagine a little boy growing up in a world that says you're tough if you curse? You know what that means? You're a sissy if you don't. So what are you going to do? Kids are going to choose to curse, aren't they? Why do individuals curse? Sometimes they curse because they're surprised. Walking down the hall, grandkid jumps out from behind the door, and guess what? You just let one fly. Woo! And the grandkid, his eyes get about 4 inches big, and he says, "What'd you say, Grandma?" Maybe you're driving down the road. Somebody pulls right out in front of you, hit the brakes, and guess what? You just let one fly, don't you? All because you're surprised. Sometimes individuals curse when they get hurt. We've always talked about that individual who's doing some hammering, and his hammer finally does what? Hits his thumb, and guess what? Out they go. As I was preparing for this lesson, I asked myself the question, why does that happen? Why is it when people get hurt, they curse? It happens all the time, doesn't it? I found an article, and the article said that when individuals curse, there are certain pain-killing hormones that are released into the body. Can you believe that? That's what they found. And guess what? When you say good words, you don't get the pain-killing effect. That's why people don't say chicken, goose, duck, basketball. They don't say those kind of things, folks. Oh, no. Get hurt, you start cursing, don't you? And sometimes good people get stuck in these last two, don't they? When you get hurt, when you get surprised. Even Christians can fall into that category. There's some others, too. How about this one? Anger. Anybody ever been angry and cussed? Nah, nobody in here. We're all so good. Folks, it can happen just like that, can it? We get upset with somebody. That driver cuts us off. And there's road rage. And we pull up beside him and, we don't use our mouth. We just use our finger or something. There's a lot of different ways to cuss. Did you know that? Ooh, that one hurt, didn't it? Extreme stress. Folks, that can cause individuals to curse, can it? You have this trouble and that trouble, this sickness and that sickness, this problem and that problem. None of them ever seem to go away. And guess what? Life just seems totally useless, doesn't it? And all of a sudden, we begin to describe ourselves negatively, and we may even begin to describe it with curse words as well. How about this one? To inflict harm on another individual. I find it interesting that many of the curse words are nouns, are they not? And the minute somebody does something wrong to us, the minute we want to inflict some harm, the minute we want to bring that individual down a notch, what do? We just describe them with a good cuss word, don't we? You see, we know that words, when they enter into the ears, go down into the heart and wound the soul of mankind. And every one of us can probably remember a time or two in our lives when somebody said something pretty harmful and pretty hurtful. That was a cuss word describing us, can't we? Here's one that I find interesting. Some individuals cuss in order to add emphasis to a statement. It's not enough just to describe what's going on. Oh no, I have to put a cuss word behind it so that it will really describe what's going on here. Just listen to how words are used, and that's one of the common ways now. You want to know what that shows? Complete ignorance. Guys, we've got dictionaries today. Some of them are like 10-volume dictionaries of words that can be used in our society. Most of us have a vocabulary of about two. I'm sorry, maybe three. That was a joke. But the point is this, most of us don't have a vocabulary big enough to describe things the way they need to be described so that we don't have to use curse words to make the description. It's just ignorance on our part. How about this one? Why do people curse? Because they're intoxicated. Ever seen anybody do that? Oh, yeah. Folks, alcohol, decreases one's prohibitions, doesn't it? An individual under the influence of alcohol will do things and will say things that he would never do if he wasn't intoxicated. Get a few beers in you. Get a little whiskey in you. And guess what? You would never go down the interstate at 120 miles an hour, but you will with a little alcohol. And folks, there are things that people will say under the influence of a little beer, whiskey, wine, whatever it is, that they would never say if they were sober. How about this one? To fit in. We've all been in places where individuals are worldly, individuals are ungodly. You get on a football team and guess what? Everybody on a football team's tough, remember? And so they all what? They all cuss. Now, here you are, the Christian on the team, and they're all cussing. What am I supposed to do? Just be a little goody two-shoes? I'm supposed to be a little holier than thou? Oh, no. I got to what? I got to fit in. I was 19 years old, and I got a job that was called The Ramp in Memphis. It was unloading automobiles off of railroad cars and putting them in a parking lot so those 18-wheelers could pick them up. Guys, I'm telling you, I had never in my life heard some of the speech and language that those guys that I worked with used during the course of the day. I was the only Christian in the whole bunch. And you talk about tough? That's hard, isn't it? We go up, we grab a car, we pull it off, we park it, and then we'd all get in a van together and ride back to where you get in the car again. Folks, I was in a van 4 to 5 hours a day, and all they did was cuss. That's a tough situation. And when you don't, guess what? You just stand out like a sore thumb, don't you? Kids get put in that situation at school, don't they? Maybe you got a neighbor next door. You don't normally cuss, but you know your neighbor does. He cusses all the time, and you like him. He likes you. So guess what? When just you and him are talking, guess what? You just let him fly for a while. Let him show you. I fit in with you. You see, you don't want to stand out. So we try to fit in. Folks, sometimes we use them just out of sheer ignorance, don't we? Just out of ignorance. And then lastly, because of the influence of the world. Guys, we live in a wicked society, don't we? Television, radio, internet, music, books, games, the jobs that we're in, and sadly, even many of our leaders will stand before the public with no qualms whatsoever, and use profanity. And guess what? We begin to believe. We begin to believe that's just the way it is. That's how people act. That's the way you're supposed to act. And we just kind of fall into the ways of the world, don't we? A problem with a lesson like the one we're preaching is that you have to give some background information. You have to give some introductory information. And folks, that's what all of this has been. Next Sunday morning, we're going to really get into Scripture and what the Bible has to say about the evils of the tongue. But I want us to think about some things. First, words like dirty, vulgar, profane, corrupt, evil, like we said before, that describe cursing. Guys, we should immediately know. Christians don't act like that. Christians don't use that kind of language, pure and simple. Secondly, folks, committing sin can never be justified. There's no justification for committing sin. In other words, what we're saying is this. We gave you all that long list of reasons as to why people cuss. Folks, guess what? None of those whys justify a sin. That's why we put down there. The whys of cursing is not important. I don't care why you do it. It's wrong. It's just that simple. It's wrong. Let's close our lesson with a verse that all of us should memorize. Spoken by David, Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I find it interesting that David puts two things in there. His words and his what? And his heart. Because you see, all words spring from what? From the heart of man. Folks, let my words and my heart be acceptable in the sight of our God. Folks, we live in a rough, evil world, you know what? And like we've said, the standards of society have dropped tremendously over the last 30, 40, 50 years. Things that we thought we would never hear are just commonplace today, aren't they? There's good and bad in that. There's bad in that in the sense that the Christian now can be tempted more to do those bad things. But there's good in that we as Christians who live holy stand out even more in a dark world, don't we? My friend, God allowed Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary to make unto Himself a holy people. A people that is chosen, a people that is set apart, a people that is pure, a people that has been created to fulfill the purposes of God. Maybe you've been living in the world. Maybe you've been living like the world. We want you to come out of that and become a Christian, a child of God. You can do that through five simple steps, can't you? Hear the precious gospel, Romans 10, 17. Believe in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, John 8, 24. Repent of sins, Luke 13, 3. Confess the name of Jesus, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And be immersed into Christ, baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 22, 16. Dear Christian, what about you and your life? Does your life really, really proclaim to the world that I am an imitator of the Son of God, a Christian? Maybe we need to repent and ask God to forgive us. You need to respond to the invitation. Won't you come as we stand and sing?